At this time, we'll call on Brother David Somerville. I ask that you give him your undivided attention as he talks to us on the subject, responsibility. Brother David.
Hey, Ben, something's not working with the PowerPoint. I'll get started while he messes around with that. Hopefully he can get it figured out. I'm going to do my talk a little bit differently than a normal lecture would be, as I'm going to ask you guys some questions. If Ben can get this PowerPoint working. The slides that we put together, my wife made, so if anybody's got a problem with the slides, that's who you're going to want to talk to. And if you don't like how I'm going about my lecture, I went and I cleared it through Mark, so if you don't like anything about my lecture, you can go and talk to Mark about that. The reason why I want to ask you guys questions is to kind of keep you on your toes as I'm going through my talk. Mark gave me about 60 minutes to talk to you guys, so if you guys don't answer my questions quickly enough, then I might run over the 60 minutes, but of course that will be your guys' fault for not answering my questions quickly enough. How's it going, Ben? You getting it? I thought you just checked it all up before. I got to get this thing going. All right, so last, what is responsibility? Jesse's got a microphone back there, so he's going to find somebody and... anybody that raises a hand, just go to him and...
It's what you're not taking.
Means amenability. We are amenable to the judgment of God because of the knowledge that is in us.
Thank you. Yeah, I got a couple different things. Ben, really, I mean, this is, you're killing me up here. You got to get this thing going. All right, you can get it. You can turn it up. Yep, another one.
Responsibility is like, it kind of has to do with how you act, and, like, responsibility is like doing your part.
Exactly. Those are the two things I had on here. Being accountable for your actions and your behavior, and doing the right thing at the right time so people can trust you. So, like was pointed out, I started off this talk with blaming Ben for the PowerPoint, which worked fine. We checked it a zillion times, but I blame Mark for me doing my lecture a little bit differently. I blame my wife, even though I checked it over and okayed everything, and I also blamed you. Let me clarify. If anybody has a problem with anything I do or say, then you should take responsibility for your actions and come and speak to me directly. I want to start off to make it clear that I was not at fault for anything when I started this talk. I was willing to blame anybody, anyone at all. And it sounds kind of funny, people are laughing, but unfortunately, this is the day and age that we live in. This is how most people act. I went on and to a website and got some actual insurance claims that were turned in. As I approached the intersection, a stop sign suddenly appeared in a place where no stop sign had ever appeared before. I was unable to stop in time to avoid the accident. An invisible car came out of nowhere and struck my vehicle and vanished. A pedestrian hit my car and went under my car. And I actually this week kind of heard the same story, but instead of it being a pedestrian, it was a deer, but I don't know. Coming home, I drove into the wrong house and collided with a tree that I don't have. And this one was my favorite. No one was to blame for the accident, but it never would have happened if the other driver had been alert. So again, these sound kind of silly, but it's the world we're living in. But that was off of a website. Let's open up our Bibles. We'll look in the very first sin, Genesis 3 and 11. We read, "And he said, who told you that I was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman who thou gavest me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Genesis 4:9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Exodus 2:13. And they came out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said unto him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely the thing is known. These people took about as much responsibility as I did at the beginning of the talk. We can look at most of the people that call themselves good in the world. They believe that no matter what they do, God is going to give them their reward that they feel. And it doesn't even matter what that reward is. It could be going to heaven, getting 50 virgins. It could be turning into an animal. God is going to just hand out these things. Whatever they want, no matter how good or bad they do, God is going to give them. We just have to learn to coexist. This coexist world could not be further from the truth of what the Bible says. Ezekiel 28:10, we read, thou shalt die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of a stranger, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Death is the reward of them that choose their way over God's. Matthew 11:25, we read, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of the Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whosoever the Son it will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. To know God is the only way that we can take responsibility to serve him, putting on his yoke, not our own yoke. How about here this weekend? Does anybody have any responsibilities? We're going to have some dirty bathrooms. How many people have, I see one, two, three, hopefully most people's hands better be going up. What's your responsibility?
I have to do the chores that they assign me.
Yep. So there's a whole chore chart. There's a speaking schedule. Oh, there's a lot of people that have a lot of different chores, a lot of different responsibilities. There's a lot of people that had a lot of responsibilities even to get this thing set up and going. So why do people take their vacation in the summer to a campground in the middle of Texas without any air conditioning to listen to talks? Then on top of this, they're going to give us a bunch of work to do. Because everyone is doing their part. The part of working together. It helps us build a bond in our relationships together. So, by doing what God asks of us, we are building a relationship by Him. And this is a sign that I have a picture made up of in 2014. My mother went around and took a whole bunch of pictures and tried to get everybody that was at high. So this sign has memories of baptisms, peaches and cream, family and friends, fun at the water park. One of my favorite things is Sunday school entertainment, because it shows where the young people took on their responsibilities to show how well they have done. And there's also the picture of someone holding an armadillo. Does anybody want to take responsibility for that tonight? So now that we have shown a few examples of people not taking responsibility, let's look at how I can model taking responsibility. My responsibilities. I'm married, so I have responsibilities to my wife. I am a father, so I have responsibility to my three kids. I am a son, so I have responsibility to my parents. I am a teacher, so I have responsibility to my students. The last week before we got out of school, I saw three students that were wandering the hall at lunchtime. And I told them that they weren't supposed to be in the hall at lunchtime. And I know it's going to be hard for you guys to believe. Their response was not, "Oh, thank you, Mr. Somerville, for heading us in the right direction." But rather their response was, "You're the only one that does your job. The rest of the teachers don't care that we're here." And the sad thing is, it's probably true. The other teachers are on their lunch break, running around doing whatever they can before the next class comes in, and they don't want to be bothered with these three students that are just in the wrong spot. But just because other people aren't doing their job doesn't make it right for me not to do mine. It was taking up my lunch period to get them to leave the hall and go to where they should be. And finally, I was asked to give this talk. So it is my responsibility to give the talk to you, and it's your responsibility to listen to me. So what are some ways that we can show responsibility? I got four of them up here. Follow through on your commitments, even when you don't feel like it. Accept responsibility for your mistakes and learn from them. Don't make excuses or blame others. And that's going to be really important in our walk in the truth. Find out what needs to be done and do it. Always do our very best. People are counting on you. Now let's look at the verses in the Bible that show responsibility are responsible. There's over 31,000 verses in the Bible in the Old and New Testament. Anybody want to guess how many times the word responsible or responsibility shows up in our Bible? I think there's somebody in the back there. Anybody have any guess? It's going to be a long talk. Shout it out. Zero. You're right. Zero. It does not appear once in our Bible. So does that mean the talk's over? There's no responsibility at all needed, and this talk was a complete waste of time. No, hopefully that is not true. Responsibility is one of the most important things, because without it, you will have no hope. Your only hope will be what you can earn in this lifetime. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. If this life is all we have to live for, then that's not very good. So again, why would we give a talk on responsibility? The article True Principles and Uncertain Details, published by Brother Roberts, he put, responsibility, a general principle that men are responsible to the resurrection and condemnation who refuse subjection to the will of God, with their circumstances are such as to leave them no excuse for such refusal. Now I'll read this again. Men are responsible to the resurrection of condemnation who refuses subjection to the will of God. And again, completely the opposite of what the world teaches us today. So we have responsibility to serve God. Then we have to give God give an account of why we didn't serve God. But does every man and woman born automatically become responsible and required to give an account? We quote the Herald of the Kingdom by Brother Thomas. He says, there are four classes. One, those who ignorance and involuntary and helplessness, they are born and die under the sentence pronounced upon Adam. Out of the ground was it taken, and unto dust shalt thou return. This is the beginning. This is their beginning. They remain in the congregation of the dead, being helpless, sinners by constitution. Not everyone learns about God. Those that never knew God will not have to give an account of what they didn't know. How about those that did know God? We return to our quote. Two, those to whom God sent a light, but who shut their eyes against it, loving darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil, these are not only sinners by constitution, but wicked sinners who refuse to come under the constitution of righteousness of God. These people that shut their eyes to the light of God. And we go to number three. Whoops, a little bit behind here. Number three, those who come under the constitution of righteousness and are therefore saints. Thus, they being to do well for the patient continuum and well-doing, they receive glory, honor, incorruptibility, and a life at the first resurrection as the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And the fourth one, those saints who did well but did not continue in doing his work, they fall on the wayside of the stony ground and are choked by the thorns. If we are never exposed to the light of God's word, we will live and die, never seeing the light and never making it into the second class. You see, in Genesis 3:19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground. Out of this was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. That is the hope of those that are not responsible or never hear about God. If we see the light, being exposed to the word of God, but choose not to listen to it, and don't take the responsibility for learning about God, then we stay in the second one. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. If we see the light, being exposed to the Word of God and choose to listen to it and take no responsibility for learning it, then we will stay in this class. But if we take responsibility and learn about God and get baptized, then we move into the third class. We'll now look at the chapter known as the chapter of faithful, because every time it's listed, it says by faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In verse 13, all these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and are persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. But the fourth group, those that had started off in the third group, but couldn't maintain through it. Think about the first day of school, the first day at our new job, the first day on a project. We think, this is going to be different. I'm going to make sure that I get all my homework done every night so I'm not scrambling around at the end of the term in danger of failing. I'm going to get all my paperwork done at the end of the night so I'm not going home, bringing work home with me when I have kids and stuff. I'm going to get it all done and leave it at work. We start a new sports season and we say, we're going to stay in shape. We're going to work out every day. Or diets. We change our eating habits and we start seeing some success. And it works well for a while, but then we walk by the plate of cookies and we slowly take one and two, and then the next day maybe it's three and four, and we slowly slip back into our old ways again. Mark 4, verse 5. And some fell on stony ground where there was not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because there was no depth in it. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they had heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. And there was no root in it themselves, and so they endured but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction and persecution arise, and the world for the world's sake, immediately they are offended. And those that were sown among thorns, such as heard the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entered in, and choked the word, and it became unfruitful. If we don't take responsibility for our sins, we cannot be forgiven for our sins. Luke 18, verse 10. Two men went up into the mountain to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as this other man are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So there are two main points in this verse. Responsibility. You have to own up to your own sins. If you come up with excuses, you cannot be forgiven. It is only by saying, I did this and I'm sorry, through humble prayer, that we can be forgiven. in tithing or money. God has blessed us with it. What can we do with it? So I'm going to have Jesse go around. Try and hit the back a little bit. Those guys are pretty quiet back there. What are some good things, some responsible things that we can do with money?
Making sure you're able to use the right amount of money and not buying junk and sweets.
Yep.
Like buy a Bible or something if your Bible breaks. Buy a new Bible. Don't waste it on sweets and rubbish and stuff.
Yep. Good job.
Buy food.
Yep.
Save it so you can buy, like, trips to gatherings and high.
Excellent. Yep. We got one more up in the front here.
You can, like, donate money to the poor people and, like, the animal shelter.
Yep. Yep. We can help out the less fortunate. Good. All good things that we can use money for. So this is money. Everybody knows what this is. There's nothing wrong with money in itself. We all know what it is. We all know how to spend it. We all know what our needs are. But what happens if this money... I can still see everybody, I can still see my friends, my family, but if this money comes in and it gets so all I can see is this money, that's when it becomes a problem. It clouds my vision. I can't see anything else around me. I can't see my family and friends, those who might need my help. All I can see is this $5 bill, and I got big plans for it. And what I want and what I need becomes so much more important than everybody else. If the love of money is too much, it can lead to trouble. It might begin to make foolish and selfish purchases. I really need this thing. And we have enough money to eat. And the kids don't need new shoes this year, but I really need this new whatever it is. They can get by with another year. I can always make excuses of why what I need is so much more important than what others need if I have this love of money. It's not having money that's the problem, but it's the love of money. Holding that money too close is where the problem becomes. So what are some good and responsible things that we can do for money? The one I had was take a trip to Hawaii every year. We can work earning money and helping out others. We turn to 1 Timothy 6:7-12. For we brought nothing into this world, and we certainly can take nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snares, and unto many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, and having erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So I have some responsibility bills that I'm going to have some people pass out. And you don't have to write anything on them if you don't want to, or you can write something on them. This is for you to keep. What responsibility do you need to work on? Write it down. Stick it in tomorrow's reading, Matthew chapter 27. Then we are doing our readings in about 6 months. You'll see that sitting in there. You can look at it and see, am I on track? Did I really take responsibility for what I said I was going to do? If not, as was mentioned in the exhortation, we can refocus ourselves and try harder to get us back on track. And then next year when we're here and we come across it again, hopefully we have seen how much we've grown in taking responsibility for whatever it is over the past year. And this is a private thing, but I'm going to share mine with you. I used to do... I have about an hour and a half to 2 hour ride. It's an hour ride to work and about an hour and a half to 2 hour ride home every day to work. And I used to listen to books on tape. I had a PDF reader, so I had books on PDF, and it would read them to me. And I used to, not every day, but at least about an hour a day or 5 hours a week, I was listening over and above what I normally do at home. But this last year, I started carpooling with someone. And it was a huge financial savings to me as I, you know, drive back and forth. You know, AAA says that the price of gas or the cost of running a car is about 57 cents. That was like getting a $5,000 bonus. Sounds good. But the problem was, is I lost that 5 hours of studying. I didn't carpool every day, but then I was out of my routine. So mine is I'm going to make sure that I get those extra 5 hours of studying back into my week somehow. So hopefully everybody will kind of think about maybe one thing that they could add in. The next thing I'm going to talk about is my... responsibility tree. And I want people to put examples of their responsibilities. And it's one thing that we do at work is we call it best practices. And as teachers, we kind of come up with things that are working well, maybe with a certain student that's giving other teachers problems. And we kind of present these things so other teachers can kind of use the things that work well for us, so we're not constantly reinventing the wheel. Now, this is hard as Christadelphians because we don't want to take pride in ourselves, which we shouldn't, but we can share things and we can help others because things that might have helped us will probably help others on their walk. We have a fairly new brother and sister. We have a fairly new husband and wife here. There's people that are in all different walks in the truth, some just starting, maybe some of them just hearing for the first time tonight. So hopefully people can add to this. So I printed out a bunch of green leaves, and I'm going to do a few of my own, and I hope other people, I'm going to leave some tape and some leaves. And throughout the week, if everybody can put one thing up here, then it will help others. We can pass it on to them. Not looking for profound things, just things that you do now that you found beneficial? And I asked some people in my ecclesia, and these were some of the things that they said, to be a good listener. As people are going through their trials, just listen. Sometimes that's what they need. One person said to do their readings in the morning before they did it with their family so they were prepared for comments. Another one said picking up a book from a pioneer brother and reading it all the way through. Now let's take a look at my list of responsibilities. I'm married to my wife, so I constantly remind her that I love her. She may not need to hear it every day, but I'm going to tell her anyways. Because the days that I come home thinking about work, how am I ever going to get my students to pass the test, and I forgot to get milk for supper, and oh yeah, one of the kids is still at the field because I never picked them up, and slipped my mind. And supper's cold because I'm home late. These kind of things that she needs to hear because maybe she might forget. Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wife and be not bitter against them. So I'm going to put up say, I love you. I'm a father, so to my three kids, I teach them by example. They don't get everything they want, firstly, because they can't afford it, and secondly, they don't need it, and they need to learn patience and to work for it. I try to be patient, loving, and hardworking. Spend time studying with them and on my own. They can see or know that I'm studying and always try to put my family needs above mine. But I'm not perfect. Actually, I'm not very close. But I try. And I want them to try as hard as they can. As this is all God wants from us. Even if what we give is not perfect. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 29:15. The rod of reproof giveth wisdom, but the child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. In Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So my second leaf is going to say, teach by example. I'm a son. So to my parents, I'm obedient. I still ask them questions when I'm going through tough decisions in my life. Doesn't mean that I have to do exactly what they say, but I will definitely weigh what they have to say, the things that they have gone through, and what they tell me will weigh heavily on my decision. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Hear ye children the instruction of the father, and attend to no understanding. So my third leaf here is going to be obedient, do what is asked of me. I printed out about 200 of these, 250 of these. So hopefully, actually, Rachel, my daughter, did them all. So there should be enough for everybody to add one. If not, just at least read it, and hopefully you can learn from it. I'm here to teach, so to my students and to you tonight. Proverbs 9:9, give instruction to the wise, and they will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. And your responsibility to me was to listen and put what you hear into action in your life. Proverbs 23:12, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Jeremiah 17, verse 23. But that they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. In Matthew 25, which was read ahead of time, how many responsible people did we come up with in that first chapter? Seven? Okay, good. Three or seven was good if you're counting the acts or the actual... there was three different parables, and there was the five righteous virgins and the two servants that did their talents. So I'm just going to bring out a couple things here. Lord, the unfaithful servant, Lord, I know that thou art a hard man. I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. In the result, thou wicked and slothful servant, take therefore thy talent and give to him, from him, and give it to him that has 10 talents. God has given us talents. We can bury them and take no responsibility, or we can take on the responsibility and double our talents, no matter how many are given to us. And maybe by putting one of your talents on this tree, somebody else will read it and start doing it. And now you have doubled the talent. Like I said, Rachel, my daughter, had printed out about 250 of these things. So I'll leave the markers and tape on. We'll probably put it in the lunchroom if I can find some space. And hopefully everybody can add to it throughout the week. How do we know when we are responsible to be baptized? Acts 8, verse 30. And Philip ran thither unto him and heard him read of the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except someone should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. And the place of the scriptures which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before the shearers, so opened he not his mouth. This humiliation, in his humiliation, his judgment has taken away, and who shall declare his generation, and his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest this prophet, this, of himself or another? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went their way, they came unto certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, Believest thou that all is in thy heart? Thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down, both of them, into water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Philip tells the eunuch that knowledge is necessary to get baptized. Knowledge is what makes us responsible to give an account at the judgment seat. Are you going to take on the responsibility to do what is necessary to get baptized and to walk on the straight and narrow path? Or are we going to shut our eyes, ignore our responsibility, and please ourselves? You can be like me at the start of the talk, blaming everybody else as time slipped away. I'll be responsible when I get my license, or when I get my car, or when I graduate. Or when I graduate from high school, or graduate from college, or after I find a spouse, or after I have kids, or after I establish myself in my career, when I'm retired, I'll finally be able to. You're not taking responsibility. Whether you need to get baptized or start on the path that will lead you to get baptized, which is where my main focus is here tonight. But even if you have been baptized already, you have things that you still need to take responsibility for and do. Try to make a comment in tomorrow's discussion class. By tonight, before you go to bed, read the chapter. Pick out a few verses that you can bring out. Or come up with a question that you can ask. If you're someone hearing about the Christadelphians for the first time, then take on the responsibility of reading and studying your Bible every night. Talk to someone here or ask me, and I can give you my cell phone number or email, and we can answer questions anytime you have them. Or we can take out our money and put them and say, this is who I want to serve. This is where my responsibility is. Responsibility is a lifelong task. Are you up to the challenge? God is selecting people that conform to Him, not ones that coexist with each other. Look at our actions that we have taken in our life. Are our actions showing we have taken on the responsibilities for our own best interests or for what God wants us to do? And do we want to continue down this path?